listening to Get Sports Radio.
Podcast episode number 3, your 2017 NFL draft recap. I'm Dan Claskins, your host, and happy to be here with you on the new podcast, the Get Sports Info podcast. You want to subscribe to us out there, do it on iTunes, do it on Google Play. Be sure to check out the new website. That's right, if you've been listening, we're going through a little bit of a transition right now. Got a lot of exciting developments, including a brand new website coming out this week, and we are so hoping that you like it. It's going to be the home of the podcast. You can get all that. We're going to have a blog on there, all kinds of great content. We're talking fantasy football here with you. We're going to have some news on our rankings and articles and some more new homes for that as well. But this is episode number 3. We broke down the draft in our prior episode. In this one, we will sort of recap it, give you our first fantasy take on that. And joining me to do so, my good friend from ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati, and the guy that's been doing studs, duds, and sleepers for a number of years here on Get Sports Info. His name's James Rapine. He'll join us in just a bit in our Friends in Fantasy. The draft is in the books, obviously. An exciting time for all fans. For me, it's always got an interesting twist because I'm a Bengals fan as well. And, oh, man, do they always make it interesting on draft day. They did some things this time around we'll talk about during the program, including my take on one Joe Mixon, what it's like to raise your hand on that. That will be the hashtag my one more thing. We'll talk about drafting for character. But before we get into all of it, just doing some cleanup stuff. Like I said, the new site's out there. You want to follow us, you can follow me on Twitter at Dan Claskins, the podcast at Get Sports Info. Like us on Facebook at Get Sports Info as well. We're going to be doing some Facebook Lives. We're going to be checking in weekly. And, you know, this is the third podcast since we relaunched. And, you know, as I talked about in earlier episodes, I was podcasting literally a decade ago and sort of got out of it, you know, after we got a lot of the other things going on here. But very excited to connect again. I mean, quite frankly, it's just hard to keep up with all the questions and everything coming in at me. So I feel like it's time to develop some content, spend our time talking to the masses. And what a better way to do that than re-entering the world of podcast and the Get Sports Info podcast, the centerpiece now of our site there. And I hope you will join me weekly, just about year-round, including during the season, for some fun stuff. And as I said, a lot of things happening since we last talked to you. The NFL schedule release came out, and you know, I'm not real big on the schedule. Not like I used to be. I mean, it is interesting to see, you know, which games might be on prime time, how the early part of the season looks. You just don't know which teams are going to be good, which teams are going to be bad. Teams with 5 or more primetime games ranked in order, most to least surprising to me. The Eagles, the Chiefs, the Raiders, the Redskins, the Broncos, 1 through 5. The Cowboys, Falcons, Steelers, Packers, and Patriots also there. So quite a few teams on that, and we'll certainly get into that a little bit later in the summer as we get in NFL teams and different things through there. Some real quick inside the numbers before we start digging into the fantasy takes on the draft. I mean, the draft is in the books, and what an interesting first round it was. I mean, you can throw all the mock drafts right into the paper shredder. I mean, those things lasted even shorter amount of time than my brackets did, and that's saying something. But, you know, as we go inside some of the numbers, some of the little tweets I was following along there during the draft and made note of. First of all, trades galore. 38 of them made during the NFL draft between Thursday and Saturday. That was crazy. Patriots, they had only 4 draft selections. That's the fewest of any team this year. And interesting enough, all 4 of their picks acquired were from other teams. So we'll see how that goes. I love to see all my Michigan football fans that are my friends out there just gloating. They had 11 players taken in the draft. That was the most of any team, including a couple surefire first-rounders there. Division II school West Georgia has had 2 picks in the draft. At one point, Georgia just won. I thought that was interesting. Also, Mr. Irrelevant, always interesting. Chad Kelly, who is Jim Kelly's nephew, actually gets taken by another 1983 quarterback, John Elway. That's something that is interesting. Not a bad pick at all on their end. So We're going to get into that as well. But really, a lot of draft talk, and here to talk about it with me, including some of the moves and some of the things going out there with all the teams we're talking some fantasy with, and doing it here now with James Rapine. And James, can you hear me all right here, man?
I can now, yes.
You are in here.
Yes. Did you kick it to me earlier? It dropped, so I didn't get to hear you if you did.
I may have hit a button. I'm still trying to figure these things out.
No, you're fine.
You're coming in loud and clear. We're recording. Awesome. I found it easier to just record everything all at once here. It makes the editing job pretty easy. So we are learning on the fly. Yeah, a lot of new things going on here, James. A lot of new things, man. But let me get your take. I mean, before we dive in, obviously this has got a fantasy slant. You worked your butt off on studying the draft beforehand. I mean, you talked Bengals draft quite a bit. But, I mean, just this draft in general, James. I mean, are you kidding me? It was so crazy on Thursday night. It was like right out of the gate, the train got off the track. And, it was hard to get back on.
It was a lot of interesting moves. I thought, obviously, Trubisky was probably the shock of the night going too. But the wide receivers, three wide receivers going in the top nine, I'm not sure anybody expected that. So from a fantasy perspective, I think that was probably the biggest shock of the night, the first round at least of the draft.
Oh, yeah, because everybody was talking defense. My guy Joe Everett does a great job at NFL Draft Bible when he joined me on my last podcast. We were just talking about all these studs. And as you said, I mean, offensive players dominating it for sure. 10 skill position players in the first round from a fantasy perspective, which, some nice names. We're going to get into those for sure. Before we even get into the draft, I haven't even had a chance to sound off on this, and obviously it's even changed even further now in the draft, but Adrian Peterson landing with the Saints, who still have Mark Ingram. Now, they lost Tim Hightower and Travis Cadet, but they did that. They drafted Kamara out of Tennessee, a Reggie Bush-type profile that he delivers. But, I mean, man, what do you think of the signing of AP? I did a Twitter poll, James. I'd be interested to see how you voted. AP, and this poll, I got a preface, was taken before the draft. So this was before that the Saints actually had the other running back in the mix now. Mm-hmm. But I did a Twitter poll of asking folks, what's their fantasy take on Adrian Peterson for this year? Would you consider him a top 25 running back, a flex play, a bench fodder, or no thanks? How would you vote?
I would probably say just because you know what he could potentially be, flex play with some upside. That doesn't mean I'm going to go out of my way to draft him. And the name recognition of Peterson, probably he'll go higher in fantasy drafts than he should. But I'm not against drafting him just because he's 31 or 32. He's a freak. So if he's there and I feel comfortable taking him, I will. But it's easy to predict he'll get overdrafted.
Yeah, the value, that name recognition, especially if he starts doing some special things in the preseason. You get that little training camp hype that always seems to go up. 43% said flex worthy, by the way. 24% no thanks. 19% bench fodder. 14% top 20 running back. This is at my Twitter poll at Dan Claskins with 200 votes there. But
what do you think?
I agree. I mean, I think he's a guy that's is probably going to have a little more value in non-PPR formats, maybe half-point PPRs. But, I mean, he's going to have a value there. Tim Hightower certainly had his big days. We know Ingram's got some durability issues. But Kamara, I mean, it's going to take some time for him to get eased in. I think his dynasty play is pretty good, but I'm not getting too excited about him in 2017. But rest assured, I think Ingram's dropping down a little bit. I think that's the bigger fantasy takeaway.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Ingram, if you had him as an RB2, now you're a bit more worried. Because what if AP does have that crazy, freakish-type season where he shows he's better than Ingram? Then all of a sudden you might have drafted Ingram earlier and be stuck with a flex play.
Yeah, that's definitely a good take on that for sure. And sorry about that. I just muted myself. But in terms of some of the other news, let's dive into this draft, because the Peterson was before the draft here. But, I mean, when you talk running backs, a load of running backs coming into this thing with some fantasy right out of the gate potential. And I think most of the pundits out there would agree Leonard Fournette, the top guy on this list, he goes to Jacksonville at number four. That's the same spot last year the Cowboys took Ezekiel Elliott. I'm not so sure I'm expecting that type of rookie season here, and I'll say that right out of the gate. What do you think about the landing spot here for Fournette?
I think he'll get used. So that's a good thing. I think when you look at his potential landing spots, there was rumors about San Francisco, the Jets, and obviously the Jaguars. I think the Jaguars would probably be the best out of the three. Blake Bortles isn't great, but there is a couple weapons on the outside there at wide receiver. I think they'll lean on Fournette. I think he'll have a decent rookie year, but certainly not. If you draft him, especially in dynasty leagues, don't expect him to be Ezekiel Elliott or in rookie drafts. He's not going to be Elliott. But he might. If you told me he had 1,000 yards in his rookie year, I wouldn't be shocked by that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if they – I thought we could even see it on draft day later in on Friday or Saturday, maybe a T.J. Yeldon trade or something here. But
yeah,
seemingly they're a little overloaded there now. No doubt about it. He'll rise to the top, but I agree with everything you said. I think Christian McCaffrey, the second running back off this board in the draft, lands in a much better situation. He's in Carolina with Cam Newton. You got an offensive line that, you know, can actually get a little bit of things there done. And, James, you look at Cam Newton. I mean, a terrible season, a year removed from the Super Bowl. This team, I think they need to take the pressure off of Cam a little bit. They got a great defense when healthy, and I think that adding McCaffrey and Jonathan Stewart, I think it's a nice 1-2 punch, and he's definitely going to be a little dink and dunk guy, and Lord knows they need some weapons for Cam to get the ball to.
Absolutely. I mean, for the first time in Cam Newton's career, he gets a sports car, a guy who can run. I mean, seriously, you look at Kelvin Benjamin, he's got his weight issues. Jonathan Stewart, and he had D'Angelo Williams a couple years ago. He's never had this type of athlete. They'll be able to put him in the slot. They'll be able to put him in the backfield. McCaffrey's a great player. He can be that threat in multi different ways. He's really versatile. I like his upside. And the thing with Carolina is Cam Newton's obviously the star. That's who defenses are going to focus on. So McCaffrey could easily get 8 to 10 carries, 4 or 5 receptions a game, and I wouldn't be shocked by that even in his rookie year.
Number one pick, if you had it in a rookie dynasty league, which you did in ours, but you traded it away.
For Ezekiel Elliott.
No, it was a great trade. I'm not knocking your trade. I'm just saying, ironically, you were in this spot for a minute.
I was.
If you were in it this year, PPR league, are you going McCaffrey or are you going Fournette with that top pick?
This is the interesting thing. Is
or you're going something else.
Who projects long-term to be the best player? And this is more of a draft thing, not a fantasy thing. Fournette, I worry about him being a star in the league. Yeah. I think he'll be really good. I don't know if he'll be a star. Correct. McCaffrey, gadget guy, I think he'll be a very productive NFL player. But
In PPR, yeah. I think he's the better producer.
Absolutely. So now you look at these other guys. I'm not a huge Dalvin Cook in Minnesota guy. They just paid, I forget his name, from Oakland.
Latavius
Murray, who I don't love his talent, but I think between the two, it's not like Cook is going to be the bell cow.
You have Jerick McKinnon there as well.
And
Cook, the next name on the list, nice transitioning to that. And I mean, Cook, a lot of people think he was one of the best running backs in the draft. If not, I mean, I've seen him at the top of some guys' lists. It's the off-the-field crap that's been lingering with him. You know, switching agents, the posse that's gathering. But going to Minnesota, I mean, the Vikings, I don't know, man. That offensive line was pretty brutal last year, and that offense still just doesn't excite me. I mean, Cook's going to be the guy. I don't doubt that. But how high up my board I put him coming out, that's to be determined. I'm still feeling that one out. What are your thoughts?
Exactly. I would put McCaffrey ahead of Cook. I would have Fournette ahead of Cook. The thing I struggle with some is talent. And this is tough because I look at it from a talent perspective. I didn't want the Bengals to draft Leonard Fournette because I didn't think he offered them great value. And we won't get into the off the field too much, but my top running back in this class was the guy they did draft, Joe Mixon. And we've watched Jeremy Hill plenty. He's not going to be a fantasy threat. He shouldn't be a fantasy threat this year. Giovanni Bernard, torn ACL. Joe Mixon's my top running back in the draft. From a talent perspective, hard for me not to want him fantasy-wise because you mentioned what Zeke did. I mean, he can block. He's a three-down back. That's what Mixon is. He might not have the rookie year Elliott had, but I think he projects to be the best player out of Cook, McCaffrey, Fournette, and Mixon. And that's why, if he stays clean, I could see in a couple years we look back and say, man, Joe Mixon at 48, that he was a heck of a steal for the Bengals from a talent perspective.
yeah, and I mean, I am going to get into the character stuff a little bit later, but looking at it from just a fantasy football perspective, I mean, the talent's there. The question remains, what will the workload be out of the gate? How are you looking at this guy? A lot of these rookie drafts owners are going to be doing here in the next month or so. Some of these situations might not be as clear, and I think Mixon obviously is the guy. I mean, we were already down on Hill, as you mentioned. They lost Burkhead. But to me, there's still question marks, even if Mixon pans out on and off the field for Cincinnati. There's still a question mark for me about what they lost on this offensive line and how quickly they can recover there, because, you know, you got to have holes to run through. And if Hill remains on the football team, Mixon's opportunities out of the gate will be limited.
Yeah, I think so. To answer your question, Dan, and I've taken a long time to do it, if I was picking one in this fantasy draft, what I might try to do is try to trade back and see if I could get Mixon with the second
trade down with
the second or third pick. And if not, it would be really hard for me to pass on him, knowing how much more talented he is than Jeremy Hill, knowing Giovanni Bernard has a torn ACL, and looking at these other three players. I like McCaffrey a lot. I like Fournette, even Cook's situation. But I think Mixon projects to be the best player of the four. So if I could trade down and still get him, I would. If not, it would be tough for me not to take him first overall.
Is there a running back sleeper out there, a guy you saw go to an interesting spot and, you know, you circle that and said, hey, there's a guy that could be a sneaky rookie play coming out of the gate?
You know, it's interesting. I really liked Alvin Kamara, but now I don't because he went to New Orleans.
Yeah,
but
spot wasn't great.
It wasn't, but I will give you another name, a guy I think could be very productive early on, and he got drafted by the Chiefs, Kareem Hunt from Toledo. I really like his game. I thought he was going to be a guy, wherever he was drafted, steal. They traded up for him in the third round, got him. They clearly like him. It's not like the Alex Smith-led Chiefs aren't going to rely on running back some. I think Kareem Hunt early on with no Jamal Charles there, and I know they have some other guys, he could get some touches early and project to be a really good fantasy sleeper long term.
What about Perrine, the kid that went to out of Oklahoma that landed with the Redskins? I think that's a good situation.
Absolutely.
Too. You know, Matt Jones, they tried to get rid of him during the draft. He's going to be cut. I mean, Fat Rob, you know, he's what he is. I think Chris Thompson mixed in with the rookie here could be one to watch. That's a situation. Jay Gruden's offense, you know, a little bit pass heavy, but nonetheless, a name I'm circling. Let's move into. Go ahead.
Absolutely. No, I mean, Perrine's talent is there. He's another guy in that third, fourth round range. I thought coming into this draft, if he landed in a good spot, would be really valuable. And Dan, I'll be honest, I wouldn't be shocked if he was starting and getting the majority of the carries week one.
Oh, I'm right with you on that one. So we're talking here. This is the Get Sports Info podcast. I'm Dan Claskins, your host, along with James Rapine, my good friend in fantasy this week. He's from ESPN 1530 at Cincinnati, at James Rapine on Twitter, and we're trying to work through your fantasy takes. And we're not going to get to everybody, but I got a few months to dig into each of these teams, and I'm sure we'll hit on some more. This is just a first glance. We did the running backs. Let's dive into the receivers. And, I mean, we all knew going in there were really three first-round receivers here. I don't think any of us thought or dreamt that all three would go in the first nine picks of the draft here. But Corey Davis to the Titans, the first one to go off the board, and I mean, I really like this guy. I think this is a great fit. Marcus Mariota is going to love this guy, and as will his fantasy owners. What's your thoughts on Davis? And, I mean, does he deserve the Antonio Brown comparisons he's getting right now?
I don't like comparing rookies to, you know, that would be like comparing Fournette to Elliott. You don't want to do that. But I love Corey Davis. I think he's a really good route runner. I think the Titans finally got their number one receiver of the future. And I think he's the best wide receiver in this draft. People didn't like that he was injured, banged up, couldn't run the 40-yard dash and all that crap. We're going to forget about that by the time fantasy season rolls around and he's completely healthy. And Marcus Mariota finally has a number one option at wide receiver. If you're looking at this wide receiver class, Mike Williams might have the better quarterback in Phillip Rivers. Corey Davis is my number one rookie wide receiver heading into drafts.
I'll tell you right now, even in redraft leagues, And I'm working on the rankings. I'll have them out here in the near future, the update post-draft. But I will say that right now, he's in the top 36 range for me. I mean, this guy could even emerge as a wide receiver, too, on my board in redraft leagues real quick here. I mean, this is a great situation. I like what Tennessee did in the draft, and I think Davis is the big reason there that got off to a great start. You talk about Williams. He went pick 107. The highest Chargers receiver ever to be drafted at the wide receiver position. That's crazy to think about the long history of that team. But, I mean, we all know Williams. I mean, what a stud performance he had in the championship game. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's on the scene here. I got to admit, I am shocked that he ended up here in San Diego, James, where you've got Keenan Allen coming back. Tyrell Williams, we saw what he did. They signed Travis Benjamin. You still got, obviously, the tight ends and Gates coming back at 37 and Hunter Henry. And now you put in Williams. I mean, it's good for Phil Rivers, but, man, I just don't know how many opportunities the Rook's going to have.
Yeah, I mean, that's the interesting thing is he going to be able to separate himself from those other guys? Travis Benjamin's the deep threat in that offense. You got Tyrell Williams, who is a lot like Mike Williams. I mean, they're not super fast. They win with their body. It'll be interesting to see. I was shocked he went top 10 just because he didn't run a fast 40. Best quarterback out of the three top wide receivers. I think it's a good situation when you look at it from that perspective. But you just wonder how many targets he's going to get. I do think he could be another red zone threat for them, though.
I like what he's going to be able to do in there. His touchdown upside is certainly there. But, you know, Keenan Allen, not his best strength. So he has to stay healthy before anything. I mean, the Chargers, maybe they just figure, you know, somebody's going to get hurt every year because that seems to always happen to the Chargers. That they're just going to get like 10 of them. I don't know, but you know, his upside's limited, and I would say that as we move on to John Ross, and I mean, to your credit, James, you've been talking to Bengals taking Ross up for some time, and I'll be perfectly clear: I do not hate the player. I mean, nobody's doubting Ross's ability. I think, given his injury history, and the fact of, you know, where most of the other teams probably had him on the board. What really chaps me with the Bengals, the fact is that two of the next three teams actually traded down as teams moved up. I mean, nobody called them, but maybe if they had a general manager, they might actually call another team and try to make a trade. But I don't know. That's neither here nor there. We're not here to debate that. What I'm here to wonder is, what is the 2017 fantasy value of this former Washington wide receiver now that he's in Cincinnati?
I mean, it's not great. I think what John Ross does is it boosts A.J. Green's fantasy value right away. It helps Tyler Eifert out as well, because now that they're going to see more single coverage. John Ross is scary. The reason the Bengals liked him, and the reason I was talking about him so much, is because he's the one guy in this draft that can do what he does. There's no one else like John Ross in this draft. There might not be next year. And it's not just his 4.22 40-yard dash that everybody remembers. He's a really good route runner, can run every route in the route tree. His injuries do worry me. I think that the Bengals, it's clear they wanted to add speed, and what it does is it boosts the value of Andy Dalton, A.J. Green, and Tyler Eifert, in my mind. Ross, if there's injuries like there was last year on the Bengals offense, Ross could vault up real quick and be a guy that has a lot of fantasy value. But I wouldn't expect him. I don't know. Where do you see him going in rookie drafts? I don't think it'll be that early, just because there's a lot of guys in Cincinnati now that are going to take the targets.
He's got to be a fringe first rounder in a rookie draft.
Sure.
For sure there. I mean, in terms of – I mean, if you're in a league where you get the return touchdowns, I mean, I like the fact that – I mean, he's not going to do it all the time, but he's too big of a weapon not to get some opportunities. And then I also think in NFL 10s, the format where you play your best ball, I think that John Ross is a guy that sees a spike in value. I'm not shying away from him in dynasty leagues, but I mean, you know, I think at the end of the day, I do think I like him, as you said, to help out A.J. Green, to help out Dalton. I mean, if Tyler Eifert could ever stay healthy, this could have something special. I'm wondering, like, if I'm a Tyler Boyd dynasty owner, did this just make me give up hope that that's going to pan out?
Yeah, in that I am one. So I'll tell you, there's the hope's still there. I think it'll be interesting to see how the Bengals use all of these weapons now, because Boyd is primarily a slot receiver, but John Ross could be moved into the slot, you know? And so they could use Ross in a bunch of different ways. And if they do, that could hurt Boyd's value. So that's why when you look at a guy with the physical traits Ross has in fantasy, if you have a later first round pick and there's no one you love, you might just want to go with him because he's just better than anybody else available, and you just hope that the Bengals find a way to use him.
Best wide receiver fantasy option out there of a guy that wasn't drafted in round one, who do you think will be the next best name on that list? And as you already alluded to, I mean, we saw some studs even fall into round three and four at the position.
That's interesting. I'm trying to think of a – I think – I will say this. The Rams don't really have a ton at wide receiver. I don't like the two they paid a lot of money to, yeah. And Robert Woods and Tavon Austin. This is almost a sleeper pick, but I really like Josh Reynolds out of Texas A&M.
Wow, that is a little bit of a sleeper.
A deep threat. This is more of a long-term type thing. I really like where he landed as far as being better than any of those other wide receivers long-term. Who knows what happens with that offense, how it works. But if – and this is probably third or fourth – you know, if there's a four-round Dynasty League rookie draft – that's a guy that might be there that you might want to stash just because he's better than those other guys in the room, might get opportunities earlier than most expect.
Yeah, that's definitely a deep one there.
We'll You're keep like, our whoa, whoa. Ah,
it's interesting. We talk about fourth round of a rookie draft, and you know that's when it gets fun. But no, I mean,
Who do you like?
I definitely like what the Steelers did. I'm still a little unsure about, you know, it's funny you talk about the Rams because what'd you think? I mean, the kid, Cooper Kupp, I mean, he went to the Rams as well. He was a guy that I sort of had on my list as a potential, you know, play guy. A lot of the reasons you said is because opportunities, I think he'll get in a lot easier, playing in this St. Louis offense that's just in dire need of weapons in the passing game.
Yeah, no, I like him. I don't think he's going to be a crazy threat though in that offense. He's not super fast. He's okay. We'll see. He could be a slot guy for them.
I do think as a whole, Jared Goff has enough. I mean, they put some pieces in place between free agency. You know, they're beefing up the line a little bit. They got Whitworth there, so I don't know. I think opportunity. I mean, right now it's not a. I mean, I'll have a better feel on a sleeper receiver come July. I think from this rookie class.
And there's one more actually. Now that I think about it, we talked about or I talked about Cam Newton getting a sports car. He got a second sports car. He got like the Ferrari and then the Dodge Viper when they got Curtis Samuel. I'm not sure how they're going to use him. But
I didn't know he was going to be technically receiver running. Yeah. I mean, just get the ball in his damn hands. It should be the name of his position.
Exactly. So it'll be fun to see how they use those two guys. And Samuel, who knows? But we think McCaffrey could get a lot of those receptions. Samuel brings the same type of game, same type of versatility.
Yeah. It is interesting. I mean, I don't want to spend a ton of time talking about the quarterbacks. I mean, you know, the class was unspectacular. I did think it was interesting, obviously, with the guys, everybody trading up. I mean, I had no expectation of three guys going in the first 12 picks like we saw. And, you know, I think it is interesting in a lot of sense that, I mean, the Bears, they have been a joke at the position. So, I mean, the fact that they've come out and, you know, took a chance. I mean, Mike Glennon, they just signed the guy, but they really only have a one-year investment in him. So it's not like they're married to him. What do you think of the quarterbacks? Which one do you think will get the first taste of NFL action? And in terms of long-term, if you're looking at one of these guys in a dynasty league, who do you think has the best chance of actually developing into a, you know, decent, solid option there in the long term?
There are three guys I like, and it's not Mitchell Trubisky. So let's scratch him off the list. I know they traded up and must really like him. I think Deshaun Watson's spot is really interesting because that's clearly the best team with the worst starting quarterback in Tom Savage. I know they said Watson wouldn't start, but I wouldn't be shocked if he started mid-year if they had any struggles or something like that. And they have the weapons in Houston. They're a quarterback away from being a legitimate contender. I thought he was the safest quarterback coming in. He goes to a really good spot, offensive-minded coach. Wouldn't be shocked if Watson ended up starting and having some fantasy value. I will say this. Two guys that long term interest me are Patrick Mahomes because of his physical tools. I was talking with Tony Pike on Thursday. He was shocked that Mahomes went that early because his mechanics suck. But Andy Reid's a guy you trust, and I think you look at Alex Smith. I don't think they're gonna roll him out there for the next couple of years. So maybe not this year, but Patrick Mahomes might have some fantasy value in a year or two.
Check out this stat on Patrick Mahomes. He is the third quarterback taken by the Chiefs in the first round in the common draft era. They took Steve Fuller in 1979, Todd Blackledge in that 1983 class that we hear so much about. Each of the previous 21 quarterbacks they've drafted in any round have failed to make a Pro Bowl. They've got some nice history there. That's pretty crazy.
And there was another stat, Dan, I heard, I think the last, I don't know how many quarterbacks it was that the Chiefs have drafted, but they haven't won a game. The quarterbacks drafted, they haven't won a start. They've had a pretty bad track record of drafting quarterbacks.
The Chiefs, the Bears, the Browns, they're all getting quarterbacks. What'd you think of the Browns? I mean, they waited. They decided not to lunge in because especially next year is going to be loaded with QBs. But, I mean, they did wait around. They got a guy in Kaiser that for where they got him, I think it's a nice fit.
I love what the Browns did. They didn't reach on a quarterback they didn't love. Obviously they went with Garrett and Peppers. They needed some defensive playmakers. If you would have told them going in they would be able to get DeShone Kaiser with pick 52, I think they would have jumped for joy. Because looking at him, he might not be ready now, but he has the physical traits to end up being the best quarterback in this draft. Now, he might not be, but Hugh Jackson's an offensive-minded guy. Kaiser, maybe he doesn't play right away. They give him some time. And if so, good offensive line in Cleveland. I could see Kaiser ultimately having some success at some point. And, hell, they were rolling out like 8 quarterbacks last year anyway. So even if Kaiser does have to play week one, it's probably better than what they had.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's just thinking they're going to dump Brock Osweiler, too. And I'm like, you know, they're already paying him either way. So, I mean, yeah. Let him compete. Let him compete with all these guys. And I think it's going to be interesting. I definitely like what they did. I think they filled their team with some great players. And, you can't hold Hugh Jackson and the current regime responsible for all the terrible picks for the last, like, 2 decades. I mean, that's eventually you have to break out of it, and eventually the Browns probably will. They took some good strides. We'll see. I definitely felt better about this draft than I have in recent Browns drafts.
Would you take in a rookie draft? Would you consider DeShone Kaiser?
Oh yeah, I definitely think he's a guy. I mean, I wouldn't take him in the first round. I don't know if I'd take any of those guys in the first round, but. Oh, in our upcoming rookie draft in our Dynasty League, you better rest assured that somewhere in the first 4 rounds he'll be drafted.
Smokescreen. That's what you're doing. You're strategizing here on the podcast.
Planting seeds.
I see you. Seeds. Okay.
Dude, I got Jameis Winston in Dynasty, and, you know, that's a perfect transition because me and you had a blockbuster. You got the best of it, and at least for last year. But I am really happy to be sitting on Jameis Winston in a Dynasty League right now. I mean, they started in the offseason by signing DeSean Jackson, and then to follow it up in this draft with O.J. Howard there at tight end to put with Mike Evans. Winston, I mean, the guy has had 2 pretty solid seasons already under his belt. I think he's taken a big step up, James. I think he's a QB1 officially on my board now, a top 12 quarterback. And I think that this Howard kid, along with some of the other tight ends that went early in this draft, they're going to be difference makers a little bit earlier than we've seen the tight ends be difference makers in previous seasons.
Yeah, I think O.J. Howard at 19 was great value for the Buccaneers. I know he was in consideration for the Bengals with the 9th pick, and he fell all the way to 19. You look at Jameis Winston, love it. I think he's going to be able to throw the ball all over the field. Not only will he improve as a player, but the weapons have improved around him. They got another running back just in case the Doug Martin situation doesn't pan out the way they hoped it to. I've heard he looks really good in workouts, by the way, but who knows if that's true. Yeah. Jeremy McNichols out of Boise State, he's a guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield. Chris Godwin, the Penn State wide receiver, really liked him. They got him in round 3. So while I might not like those guys as fantasy options in rookie drafts, I love Winston because he's going to have all of these guys to throw to. Mike Evans, O.J. Howard, DeSean Jackson, a competent running game. There's a lot to like in Tampa as far as the offense goes and from a fantasy perspective for Jameis Winston.
Dude, man, it's fun talking fantasy with you. I can't believe we've already been doing this for about a half hour now, but Well, there's going to be plenty more time to talk about all these guys. We're going to be gearing up towards the season, and always good to have you on, man, and looking forward to having talking to you as things continue. James, before I let you get out of here, let's tell folks that you got your own podcast that you do with the Bengals. You've got all kinds of great stuff going on with the blogs. Let's tell everybody where they can get to it.
Awesome. Yeah, Dan, you could follow me on Twitter at James Erpine, and I host the Locked On Bengals podcast. It's a daily Bengals podcast where we talk about whatever Bengals news is going on. You get exclusive one-on-ones with players from the locker room. You hear from Marvin Lewis, Dave Lapham. The draft, we have a comprehensive draft breakdown. It's like an hour long with multiple guests on the page right now. You can subscribe on iTunes or audioboom.com. And then I have a ton of stuff, not just Bengals, but all things Cincinnati sports on my blog at ESPN1530.com. So check that out as well. And Dan, before you let me go, I didn't get to ask you, who would you take in a rookie draft first overall?
You know, it's funny. I asked you the running back question. I was expecting to debate it there. I think I would be really looking at one of those, maybe Corey Davis as well, if it was really a PPR. But I don't have a number one pick, unfortunately, so I won't get to make that. But I don't know. If I had to go straight up running back, I think I'd give Fournette the edge. I think he's the majority number one pick on rookie drafts off name recognition alone. And you know, when you draft a running back, you're not going to get the guy for as many years as that wide receiver. But Jacksonville, I mean, it's not a team that is without promise. So it's not a complete destitute situation. Just not probably the best fit.
Absolutely. See, you're the guy I would trade back with to get my guy. So it would work out. Hypothetically.
Yes. Well, time will tell on that, my friend. We will definitely be talking in the coming weeks on that. And I'll catch up soon. James, be sure to check him out on Twitter. Appreciate it, brother. And appreciate it always for joining us.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
All right, so there you have it. James Erpine with us here as we continue to move along. But what a great draft, and everything's coming up. All that, we're going to be talking more of the early season rankings next time around as we – I'm working on a final publish here. We're going to have some announcements coming out about it, where you can find our rankings, and some more here real soon as well. But we're going to end today's episode, this podcast, the episode number 3 of the Get Sports Info podcast. As we always do, it's hashtag my one more thing. And just that final take on something, and just keeping it true to the draft recap show. I did make it about the draft, and, you know, it is about, unfortunately, once again, being disappointed by my Cincinnati Bengals franchise that I root for. It just continues to baffle me how they overlook the character of the men they bring on this football team. And it really just continues to get harder for me to justify rooting for a team I've been rooting for since birth, because, you know, this is not just about Joe Mixon and the girl that he knocked onto the floor or the video that's out there. It's more, to me, about the long-term overlooking of the word character. And, you know, and the thing is, I mean, Adam Schefter, he sent out a tweet. He did an anonymous survey the week leading up to the drafts with all 32 teams, and only 4 said they would even consider drafting Joe Mixon. But once again, the Bengals do it, and they continue, oh, he's our guy. And as I'm sitting at the draft party around Bengal fans on Friday night, and all good buddies of mine, we all fall into the same trap, like, oh, the fantasy football mentality of this guy's awesome. We don't care. We didn't care about Vontaze Burfict either. And Adam Pac-Man Jones continues to get his repeated offenses. Guess what? Those were the same two guys that got flagged for stupid penalties that cost them the Steelers game. Because the same decision-making that leads to poor character off the field leads to poor character on the field as well. And, you know, it was evident with back in the days of Odell Thurman and Chris Henry and those teams. Chad Johnson punching John Thornton in the locker room at halftime. The reality of it is when poise is on the line, when you need to be the most poised, and these players are, in playoff games, they're 0-7. In primetime games, they rarely show up. And the consistency is two things: Marvin Lewis and the coach's ability to ignore what character means. One of my favorite books I've read, Tony Dungy's Uncommon: Finding Your Path to Significance, an absolute New York Times bestseller and a great read for anybody out there, football fan or not. And, you know, he spoke quite a bit about character and how it applies to both life and football, and a short excerpt from that. When it comes to character, the game of football can be a real test for our players. During any given season, they will have many moments when their character will be challenged. Will they decide to do the right thing, even when they know doing so will be difficult? Character can be revealed at those same crossroads. What are the values that guide the decisions that these players make in their day-to-day life? Training camp reveals them early. A person's reaction to winning, success, fame, recognition, and acceptance reveals character. Would you rather be described as a successful and famous, or honest, forgiving, faithful, trustworthy, understanding of others, reasonable, thoughtful, and personally accountable? Character is tested, revealed, and further developed by decisions we make in the most challenging times. We have to know what's right. We have to choose to do it. That is how character is developed, by facing those decisions and choosing the right way over and over until it becomes second nature. It's just how you do things. Outwardly, character reflects an inner life committed to honor and uncompromising integrity. If we haven't allowed our players, subordinates, or children to grow in these values and learn to be accountable themselves, then we've done them a disservice. In his final pieces of the chapter on character, he writes, "In a common world, becoming uncommon man begins by cultivating uncommon character." The Bengals continue to ignore character. The Bengals continue to lose poise in key moments. The Bengals continue to lose football games, and with these decisions, they continue to lose more and more fans. It works in fantasy football to ignore character because talent alone will eventually score the touchdowns. But it doesn't lead to championships in the NFL, and it won't help you get more fans in the seat. That's all the time I got for today. Thanks for listening to this edition. You can check out the new and improved GetSportsInfo.com. It's the home of the Get Sports Info podcast. A big thanks to my friend James Rapine. Follow him on Twitter at James Rapine for joining us here today. I'm back again in about a week or so from now. We'll be back with episode 4. It will be our early 2017 fantasy football rankings. The draft's over. How do those rankings stack up? We'll go position by position in the next edition of your Get Sports Info podcast. Until then, I'm Dan Claskins. Thank you for listening.
Get Sports Radio.